right. Good evening and welcome. And thank you for coming. Is that too much feedback? Maybe. Thank you for coming to the 35th anniversary season of River Styx at Duff's. That's on the verge, isn't it? It's your fault. All right, so we're going to kick off the new year right with a poet and a fiction writer, Benjamin Percy and Mitchell L.H. Douglas, both of whom have books for sale, courtesy of Left Bank Books over there yonder. And I'm going to bring up my compadre, Adrian Matika, who's going to do the first introduction.
Let's see, that's great. Thanks so much, everybody, for coming out. I have the feeling that this is going to be an issue. Is it good? Okay. All right. So I'm here to introduce Mitchell. Both readers today are friends of mine. But since I call myself a poet, I thought I should stick to what I know. I'm really happy that we have both these readers. Thanks again to both of you for coming out. Mitchell is from Louisville, Kentucky, but he made the big move that many Kentuckians do up to Indiana. Right? First to Indiana University for his MFA, which is, by the way, my alma mater as well. I didn't get an MFA there, but I went to school there. And our basketball team is now so low budget that we beat Minnesota yesterday and stormed the court. So, for those of you that care about basketball, you know that that's sad, right? So Mitchell first went to IU for his MFA, and then now he's an assistant professor at IUPUI in Indianapolis there. Mitchell's also a Cave Canem Fellow, and he's a poetry editor for Pluck Literary Journal. Pluck's a terrific magazine, and for those of you that aren't familiar with it, you might be familiar with its founder, Frank X. Walker, who came to read for the River Styx at Duff series a couple years ago. As if all this wasn't enough, Mitchell thanks all of you, the city of St. Louis, in the acknowledgments of Cooling Board. That's quite a thing, right? What could be better than being thanked in a book of poetry which you had nothing to do with? I'll tell you what could be better than that. The book itself is better than that. The poems in Cooling Board represent a convergence of history and imagination. They're a testament to Mitchell's skill both as an innovative researcher and as a poet. It's a combination that we don't see nearly enough in the autobiographically I-centric poetry that we write in America. Mitchell effectively finds himself in the voices in the poems that we encounter in the book. And I don't want to say too much about the book because I have a feeling that Mitchell is going to set this stuff up himself. But suffice to say, you won't hear Donny Hathaway's album Everything is Everything the same way after you hear Mitchell's poems. The poems made me feel so close I might have been one of the children dancing in that circle on the cover of the album. And if you don't know, it's also on the cover of Mitchell's book, so you can take a look at it. That's enough of that. Let's get this man up here. Ladies and gentlemen, Mitchell L.H. Douglas.
Oh, wow. This feels so good. I drove to St. Louis. I'm in the habit of driving here. So when I was a student at IU, this book got started because I figured that on Christmas break, I would drive down to St. Louis and see if there was anybody that knew Donny Hathaway. And then I came back in 2007 and stayed here for like 3 weeks and hung out in your city. And, you know, I felt at home. I feel, you know, I like St. Louis. So I'm going to throw you a curve. And before I read from the book, I'm going to read you some new poems. Working on a autobiographical book of family poems right now that's under the working title of Stitch. And this first poem is proof that poems come from very strange and different backgrounds in terms of inspiration. This is a poem that was, I guess the inspiration was a bag of potato chips. Because in my neighborhood, there was always the same brand of potato chips that was the wrapper were in the gutter. So this is called What Lays Owes the Ghetto. And I'm from the West End of Louisville, by the way, I should add. So this is What Lays Owes the Ghetto. Lay's Sour Cream and Onion is the official potato chip of South 24th Street. Ask any discarded bag, crumbs still in corners, litter don't lie. From Grandmama's house, Jackson's Liquors is the closest spot to cop. Easily accessible by street or alley, we prefer alley. Mr. Jackson's face a perpetually full moon when new kids come to the counter with a quarter. In this brick edifice, shared with blow pops, orange and grape knee-high, and oh yeah, liquor. If the right weight is shoved through the slit of bulletproof window and silver dip, the catch-all, a mini drawbridge lowers at the knees, the green and white bag sent tumbling down its red velvet lining. Forever in light, you could dust off the entire bag before hitting Grandma's front door. Trying to look cool and knowing better, you dump the empty over your shoulder. The bags, yours and others, line the curb like fall leaves in one color. You figure all will blow, roll to other streets, make room for bags of the future. The tight trap of fingers, the daily dip and pull. So it's special for me to be here on King Day. There's something about, whenever I think of Martin Luther King, I always think of Selma, and I have family from Alabama. So this next book I'm writing quite a bit about my family and our Alabama roots. And so this poem is about that, and it's called Entitled. There is a cotton field in Sardis, Alabama, a stretch of mud and white spread like the best patchwork quilt. Before the church where my great-grandmother was buried. After the service, my kin walked the rows of Puff and Profit, taking samples back to our bluegrass homes, turning the tufts between our fingers, examining the pain man made. I have lost that piece of cotton, that raw resource from my birth, of my name, something I can't get back unless I drive the miles, see the south of my youth in a second pilgrimage. When my days are done, my words no longer needed, take me there. Open the urn and spread my ashes over evil's low fruit. Let the burn stain the ankle-high clouds. Remind anyone brave enough to walk the roads how low a back must bend to fill a sack of sorrow. So, on to this thing. So, the idea for Cooling Board, I think, came when I was a student at Indiana University. And it started in a class, and I wrote like 30 pages of it and became obsessed like any writer does, and made myself little Donny Hathaway t-shirts and was walking around campus with this big Donny Hathaway face, something like this on my shirt, and people were like, what the hell is wrong with this guy? And so I know people are thinking like, you know, it's like, is anything going to come of this? So I'm glad somebody actually published this so they feel a little bit better about that strange guy that was always on campus with his homemade t-shirts. So got to let you know how this works. This is a long playing poem in many parts, what I consider one poem. And I wanted to make it like listening to an album. So there's going to be poems that are like liner notes. There's poems that are charts, like, you know, where Donny Hathaway songs charted. There's also what I call alternate takes. So you'll hear a poem one way and then hear it a different way later in the book and new information comes out. So you'll hear a little bit of that this evening. And I don't like talking too much between poems, so we're going to move pretty quickly through this. I want you to kind of get all this kind of in a flow. First poem, Phantom Limb. How, after the note is released, does the body remember the hunger? Does the foot rise and dive? Do the hands hammer? In the inner ear, what echo comes once makes a home? My heart's drumming is a solitary song, the rifle of stick and skin, one hand bound, the other in spite of. Exodus 1, Chicago to St. Louis, for Drusilla Huntley. This is in the voice of Donnie's mother. Sure as the rags on your back are my woven arms, I will wrap you tighter against the wind, and still there is no skin for a breeze to crack. There will be words, how I turn my eyes south, my back to Chicago, how the lake, great wishing well, don't wave like it used to. All those fingers wag, but they know. Raising a boy alone in a city of wind is a lesson no woman wants. Never mind frail. Miss Martha's legs are fragile, but none can fault her heart. So we'll raise a roof together where the streets know more about sun. Love you like Chicago was never cold, and nothing ever crests, breaks in a gust of dawn. So Donnie leaves Chicago with his mother and comes to live in St. Louis with his grandmother, Martha Crumwell, who was a gospel star here, who's pretty responsible basically for him being the musician that he was. And this is a poem about Miss Martha, the music, an explanation of Miss Martha. Birds are the first thing, like the morning, a smiling rising call. That's my horn section. The way pop bottles clink, even break, and jump ropes slap concrete when the pretty girls double touch. That's my rhythm. There's the grate of the screen door, open, close. How water in your kettle rustles over fire. That sound just shy of a whistle. My guitars, violins. I wrote it for you, Grandma. A Sunday song to swing the choir's robes, make the church say amen. He says, all I hear is chopsticks. Three blind mice, but the way he looks at me, his eyes on my eyes, fixed, never falling, the way the future unfurls, his fingers still planted on the keys, I can't help but believe. So I spoke to Donnie's sister, Jacqueline Bethany, about what it was like to live with somebody that was so obsessed with music. And she talked about him playing into all hours of the night. So this is a poem in her voice. This is Midnight Hour. He plays when dreams come, when the hour is as late as the moon allows, when ribbons of light slice window panes, shine for the sake of sight. Can you play your fingers ivory, no difference between keys and bones? Can you lean into the first note like the strain to catch a faint voice? Everything sweet whispered, worth something. Sometimes I raise the blanket over my head, try to pretend I don't hear him reach for notes that aren't there. Without the sight, we know the sound. A key pressed again and again, like a voice cracking. The pause, the echo of 10 fingers walking the plank of shadow and light. The hidden, the longing. So this poem is in the voice of Drusilla Huntley, Donnie's mother. This is a lost track that's not in the book. This is what your publisher loves, this when you keep writing poems after the book is published and they're not in there. And then you read them publicly. They love that. I encourage that. Do that all the time. This is a lost track. This is Donnie's mother. Drusilla worked in people's homes, cleaning homes. For money. So this is called Day Woman, with a nod to Edwidge Dandicat for the title. Day Woman. I knock on your door at 6 in the morning, bring in the paper off the porch, take orders for breakfast, make the coffee, fry the eggs, burn the bacon if you like. I take the orders for laundry, wash the shirts, starch the shirts, wash the sheets, fold the sheets, make the beds, run suits to the cleaners, pick them up, hang them up, always next to the ties. I take orders, dodge Mr. Sir's idle hands, wave goodbye as he drives off to work. I talk to his wife like her husband's not a fiend. I smile every minute like I like this job. I pretend this dollar will feed my family. I work, 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 I rise early. So then Donnie goes to college at Howard University in Washington, D.C., and leaves St. Louis. He gets a scholarship. He went to Vashon High School here. I think it's now a college, but there's a new Vashon High School, right, that was built to replace the old one. So this is Exodus 2, St. Louis to D.C., and this is in Donnie's voice, thinking of his grandmother. My future is on a black campus in a black city, capital of a nation non-wired, Nixon-weary. When I leave St. Louis, Grandma's already at the fish market cleaning catfish for early risers, saving a taste for herself. Do right, boy, is how she leaves me. Before a day's salt and scale flood her knotted fingers. At home, she will rinse the grime from her hands, remember her orders to me each evening on how to scrub the sink as she inches away, eyes on a bath spiked with Epsom. Circles, baby, in circles. So when Donnie goes to college, he meets two people that change his life. One is his future wife, Eulala, who is the mother of his two children, Layla Hathaway, which you know is also a popular singer, and a young, also a daughter, Kendra. Their mother was a singer too, so you know the kids kind of, you know, couldn't help being, going into music. So this is a poem in the voice of Donnie's widow. This is what Eulala hears. Singing is out, he says, like raised voices are meant to be discarded, discovered years later like outgrown clothes and attics of dust. I've never met someone so blessed yet so afraid to share the gifts God gave, not the keys. He gives that freely, the proof of so many Sundays rocking the choir holy. It is written in him by and by, words too bright for a back to turn. I can pray all day, but that boy is crazy if he doesn't let the world hear him sing. I loved his song before I knew his name. What Eulala hears, alternate take. Before I knew his name, singing is out, he says. I loved his song like raised voices. Hear him sing if he doesn't let the world. I can pray all day, but that boy is crazy, like outgrown clothes and attics of dust. I have never met someone so blessed yet so afraid, too bright for a back to turn. It is written in him, not by or on. Words are meant to be discarded, discovered years later to share the gifts God gave. So many Sundays rocking the choir holy, the proof, not the keys. He gives that freely. So one of the things I liked about Donnie was that he liked all different kinds of music, and he described himself as a country and Western fan, which is an interesting thing for somebody that's a legend in soul music to say. So this is called On Country and Western. This is in Donnie's voice. I dig the simplicity, white blues with banjos, boxcars from the rails of our burden. Everybody's got something to ache for, love or lack of, what we want and will never be privileged to. I heard Johnny Cash talk about doing shows behind bars, Folsom, San Quentin, how all those men living caged might rest a little easier hearing him, feel a day or two slip off a 20-year bid. I wonder if there's room for lap steel and rhythm and blues, harmonica like Hank instead of Stevie. If I sing country, would America buy a black man out of costume? Pick fiddles over saxophones, spurs for walking shoes. What bars would break, souls heal? So if you know anything about Donnie Hathaway, you know that he's responsible for in my opinion, one of the greatest live albums ever recorded. I'm a little biased, but I'll tell you a little bit about this album. Donny Hathaway Live, 1972. He's splits the recording between New York at the Bitter End and the Troubadour in Hollywood. And in Hollywood, the crowd is singing. They're on the record. You can hear the women talking to him. They should have been given a credit on the album because they were very loud. So this is a poem called Troubadour, 1971, for those women that like to sing. California sisters don't sit back, they sing back. Sip gin and tonics, slap a girlfriend's shoulder, shout, go ahead and that's all right. From the tables by the exit, we are music. You back up without microphones. Stand in for Roberta on You Got a Friend. Me a midnight declaration through the heat of red lights. Electric keys, sing. Sing with me, California sisters, like the marquee bears your name, and the man who wouldn't spring for a ticket can hear you carry on from the couch at home. Sing, like the bartender's last call is the last call you'll ever hear, and you can't leave until you hit every note just so. Sing, sing with me, California sisters, over brick-thick cigarette smog, the offbeat clap of Mr. One Whiskey, too many, the hip slap and shake of a crescent tambourine, rattling like a gourd of cowrie shells, Angel City catcall, ancient bell. Earl summons a conga pop with a cup of his hands, Phil picks and skips, teases a tiptoe rhythm, low E to high. Willie pulls those four strings into a trance that thumps through our chests, and the scream starts in the front row, hits the back wall, and Marshall reverb hums over our bowed heads. Each and every hand caught in a soul clap, inseparable song, no instrument greater than the next. Sing, sing with me, California sisters. This is no place to live unheard.
Thanks for that, Mitchell. I just realized, now we're about to take a break, but I realized after I sat down that I'd forgotten to mention that this man that you just heard was nominated for an NAACP Image Award. If you don't know what that is, that's what Denzel Washington gets nominated for and people like that. It's a really big deal for a poet to get nominated for it. So, yeah, that's right. So, anyway.